The Good Shepherd Sunday, when we recall the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, and also a day of prayer for vocations. Who is the Good Shepherd? Jesus is telling us that he is the Good Shepherd. And who do I see in the church today? Good Shepherds, one and all. Anyone who is remade in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ is also like Jesus Christ. So when Jesus stomps his chest and says, I am the Good Shepherd, each and every one of us should do the same. I am the Good Shepherd. We should repeat these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that is one of the reasons why Jesus came as a human person, why Jesus chose to be born of a woman, just like each and every one of us, so that the Good Shepherd will not be one who is not like us. The Good Shepherd will not just drop down from heaven. And then I can very rightly say, how am I to be a good shepherd? Unless you drop me from heaven, then I will become a good shepherd. But I cannot say that, because Jesus was born just like I was born, just like you were born, of a woman. He took flesh and became like us. And that is why God told Moses, we read some weeks ago, I will raise up one from among you, one who is like you, to shepherd my people Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. And also, we read in Ezekiel chapter 3, when Ezekiel was trying to dodge from duty, God told him, Son of man, I have appointed you a shepherd to my people. I have appointed you a shepherd to my people, a watchman to my people Israel. The same as God appoints each and every one of us as shepherds to the people around us, shepherds to our families, shepherds to our friends, shepherds to our children, shepherds to our husbands and wives, shepherds to the church God has given into our hands. God wants each and every one of us to take up that duty if we are truly to call ourselves Christians. And the one that really, really warms my heart, because it's a little bit comical, is one that we read in the first book of Samuel, chapter 17. When the little kid, David, went to visit his brothers and heard the giant, Goliath, challenging the armies of Israel, telling them to come forward and he would tear them limb from limb. David looked at him and then went to the king. Dear friends, just imagine a puny little high school kid going up to the king and saying, I am going to fight that man. Saul looked him up and down. And I'm sure Saul saw a dead young man. I'm sure Saul had given up on him, because he asked him a simple question. What makes you qualified to fight that man? And David gave a heartwarming answer that actually speaks to everything that we have today as the Sunday of the Good Shepherd. He simply replied, I am a shepherd. David told him, I am a shepherd. Those were his credentials. He said, I have been in situations like this before. I have fought lions and bears that have come to eat my sheep. Fearlessness, selflessness, and presence. These are the qualities that David presented to Saul, and we know how the story went. But it is heartwarming to hear that little kid preaching to each and every one of us that whatever it is that we face in life, whatever situation that God has called us to look at, we need to simply convince ourselves, I am a shepherd. And a shepherd, like Jesus tells us, leaves nothing untended. A shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, her life for her sheep. And that is what each and every one of us is called to do. Probably not lay down a life. We pray and pray and pray that our Christianity will never come to the point where we will be martyred. We do not pray for it, because it doesn't tell well of those who kill us. It doesn't tell well of the situation in our world. But every single day, just as these bulbs that we have here, they give us life every day, light every day. But let us remember that each time we flick that switch, these bulbs are dying. These bulbs are dying. They are giving away their life for you and for me. The same goes for each and every one of us. And that's the martyrdom that we are called to live every day as good shepherds. Just like David was ready to lay down his life for the country he loved. to lay down his life to save Israel from the shame of defeat. Just as Jesus did lay down his life on the cross for you and myself, we are called every day to be ready and prepared. And I talked about the qualities of the shepherd. Presence. We have to be there if we have to be shepherds of our brothers and sisters in the broader sense, starting from the nuclear family outwards. And presence doesn't always have to be physical. A phone call, a text message, a note dropped in the mail saying, I am with you in your fight. I am with you in your joy. I congratulate you on your success. I want to encourage you on the good thing you are doing. Presence. That can go a long way to strengthen someone who is wondering, am I on the right path? To someone who is wondering, can I ever overcome? But we as shepherds, we can strengthen them. I probably am preaching to the choir because Lindsay is a place where people watch farmers rearing animals. And you see how much they love them. You see how much presence they have for these animals. And you see also how the animals respond. Back in Nigeria, I remember thinking that it was a myth that there is bond between shepherds and animals until I saw with my own eyes. We have nomads in Nigeria who bring cattle from the north on foot down to the southern part of the country. And people always said, oh, they speak to these animals. Of course, yeah, they speak to the animals. Give me a break. Until I saw them in action. The seminary where I worked for 6 years before going to the U.S., I saw the usually, because we had a very large acreage, so they always pass through those places. And I approached one of them. I said, can you make this animal stop? He said, yeah. He clicked his tongue, and they all stopped working. Every single one of them. I thought, well, something's wrong here. I said, so what else can you do? He clicked his tongue. They all bunched together. And he told me, he said, if he wants them to run me over, he will tell them to run me over. They will all start a stampede. Why would you do that? He said, when there is danger, he knows how to click his tongue or do whatever they do. And these animals run for safety. And that is how much the bond with the cattle that they shepherd. I'm sure those who run farms here know that already. My dad was also a farmer. He reared pigs. And I watched the main people we used to help out. We disliked helping out during vacations in the pig pens. But I watched the people who were taking care of these pigs every day. They knew them by name. They knew their characteristics. You ask them a question about any of those pigs, and they will tell you when and how and where and what. They know them. And they love them. That is the character of a good shepherd. But they only acquired those characters because of presence. They were always there for those animals. They were always there for those cattle and the sheep and the pigs and the hens and every other animal that they had. Translated to the higher level, we human beings, we always have to be present for each other. We always have to understand each other. We always have to be there to raise a helping hand to each other. And selflessness also. And that was why Jesus repeated in this gospel 3 times. I'm wondering, why are you bombarding us with this? 3 times, I lay down my life for the sheep. My Father loves me because I lay down my life. Okay, but do we really get it? Do I really get it? What Jesus is asking me to do, to be willing, to be selfless in my work as a shepherd. Asking each and every one of us the same question also. Are we willing to be selfless in our services as shepherds to the people around us? As shepherds also to our very own souls. And I think we are. But we need always to remind ourselves of who we are. We need always to remind ourselves that that is what matters to God. Who we are. The responsibility we have as shepherds. And if we think that may be far-fetched, let us remember the question God asked Cain when he had killed his brother. God knew what Cain had done. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. God did not ask him, what did you do? He asked him about his responsibility as a shepherd. Cain, where is your brother? Not Cain, what did you do to your brother? But Cain, where is your brother? How did you discharge your responsibility to your brother? How did you discharge the duty I gave you as a sibling to that man, Abel? Where is your brother? That question continues to be true today. God will continually ask us, where are your brothers? Where are your sisters? Where are your visitors? Where is your country? Where is your community? Where is your church? Which means, what is your responsibility towards all these groups that one way or the other you are intertwined with? And we pray, just as we prayed in the opening prayer today, the collect, that where Jesus has gone, that where Jesus has gone to glory, being the light of the world, that we also will get there, even despite our many faults. And that is why I want to encourage us, even in our discharge, as in our discharge of our duties as good shepherds, when we fail, let us not be discouraged. Let us not be discouraged. If we are ever discouraged, if we think it is too late, let us remember our brother Peter. I keep going back to this man because Peter is an inspiration to me. Peter is one who was not afraid to expose his weakness, to expose his blabbering away and saying all the wrong things at the wrong time, in the wrong place, and everything wrong. But here he is today, being the one leading the charge. Jesus told him, Luke chapter 22, verse 11, "My dear Peter, the devil has gotten his wish to sift you like wheat." Jesus knew he was going to fail, yet he still kept the keys to the kingdom with this man who was very weak. But he said, "I've prayed for you," just as Jesus has prayed for each and every one of us. When you recover, strengthen your brothers and sisters. When you recover, and that means there will always, always be chances for us to redo what we may not have done well. Let us never give up on ourselves. And today also is a day of prayer for vocations. Pray for us. On Holy Thursday, when we celebrated the institution of the priesthood, I pleaded for prayers for myself, for Father Bill, for Father Charlie, for Father Eric, for Bishop Daniel, for anyone who is ordained. Because the Bible tells us, when the devil wants to fight, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. If the devil were to come in here, I am sure the devil will start from this sanctuary, mowing us down, the altar servers, the priests and everybody, and then walking outwards. Pray for us, because we, like Peter, we, like the apostles, sometimes we abandon our posts as shepherds. Pray for us so that when we recover, we will strengthen the brethren. May the peace of the Lord be with you.